Begin the current daf in Sefer Shmuel is daf Lamed Beis. Begin on the bottom of Lamed Alva Mebeis, 5 lines up in the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara begins the Gemara's discussion of the Mishnah on the previous daf, where the Mishnah discussed the parameters of Shmuel's Eidus, which is when someone, a litigant in a court case, knows someone knows testimony for him, and he says, say testimony, the guy says, I don't know, and he lies, and he says, I want you to swear for me, and he swears falsely, and it turns out that he was lying, then he has to bring a special carbon, which is this halacha known as Shmuel's Eidus. Now, on that, the Gemara introduces a halacha from Shmuel, which will relate back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, "Re'uhu sheratzach rein." If the witnesses see that the claimant is running after them, and Amar Lo, they say to him, "Ma ataratzach rein? Why are you running after us? Shvuah she'ena nuyodin l'cha edus. We swear we don't know testimony for you." Says Shmuel Peturin, they can be exempt even if they were swearing falsely regarding the testimony that they knew. Because until they hear from his mouth that he says the words, come and say testimony for me, until he says that, since in this case he just ran after them, he didn't say anything, they just defended themselves first, then they're going to be exempt. To which the Gemara asks, my Kamash Malon, what's Shmuel teaching us? Tanina. It's a Mishnah later on, Davlam Heyman Aleph. The Mishnah says, Shilich Biyad Avdoi. If the claimant went and had the witnesses swear that they don't know testimony, not through his own word, but through his slave. Or a different type of similar situation, Sha'amalan Hanitva, actually the defendant, was actually saying to the witnesses, Mashbi'ane Aleichem, he was saying, I'm making you swear, Shim'atim Yoidin Loy Edus, if you know testimony for my disputant, for the other litigant, for the claimant, Shatavu V'teidu, says, I want you to come, I want you to testify, even though it's against me. Either one of these two cases, since it wasn't directly from the Teveya, from the claimant saying, come and say testimony, says the Mishnah, Hare Eila Baturin. So here, in this situation, even if the witnesses swear falsely regarding the testimony, they're going to be exempt from the carbon of a yard. As the Gemara tells us later on, the Vlamheim and Aleph, because the Pasuk says, V'im lo yagid, if they don't testify, when they really did know. Now the word lo yagid, they spelled Lamed Vav Aleph, where Lamed Vav Aleph means to him, Lamed Aleph means no. What's Lamed Vav Aleph? It's to expound both words, as if it was written, Im loy lo yagid. If to him they didn't say, then they're going to carry this in, they're going to have to bring a carbon. Which sounds like because he's the one that was coming to them and soliciting them and telling them that they should say testimony, which as the Mishnah says, Achayishmu mi piat teveya, until they hear directly from the mouth of the claimant, come and say testimony for me, which as we said, the Gemara will learn out from the Pasuk, but we see that it has to be him and that he has to say it. So what's the Chiddush of Shmuel? Of course, if he doesn't say it, that's what the Mishnah says later on, that they're not going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, Ratzach harein istuchalei. The Chiddush of Shmuel, the novelty of his halacha was that, yeah, he didn't say anything, but he ran after them. Kinesics, where you have the body language, where Sogadet Chemina, you would have thought to say, Kivin de Ratzach harein, since he ran after them, Kamando amal hudami, that is speaking, we know nonverbal is speaking more than verbal. It's as if he said to them, come and say testimony for me. Mashmalan, that's what Shmuel's teaching. No, he actually has to verbalize it. It's not enough that his body was saying, I want you to say testimony for me, and therefore it's going to be patur. On that aspect, but even that was learned in the Mishnah, our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Shvuah said, this Kate said, it was defining the parameters of the halacha of the oath of testimony. Said the Mishnah, what's the case? If the claimant says to the witnesses, come and say testimony for me, and shvu v'chul, they say the oath, and they deny that they know it. So that's the halacha shvu'as eidus. Says the Gemara, what you see is amar in. If he says these words, then they're going to be chayiv. Loyim aloy, if he doesn't say they're not, so you see explicitly in our mission already, you have to actually verbalize it, that it's not enough with just running. What do we need shmul for? Says the Gemara, no, amar lav dafka. No. That the claimant was saying, that's not necessarily the way. It's just that's the normative process how it usually is. But if we didn't have the halacha of Shmuel, we would not have known it from the Mishnah. And actually, the Gemara proves this answer because the Ili Temahachi, if you don't say this, that although it says Amar, that it's not necessarily precise, and therefore we would have thought you don't have to have Amar if you don't say that. Then the Gabi Bekadim, the Ketanim, regarding the Shvuas HaPekadim, which is a different type of an oath, regarding a custodian, someone watching something, and he says, hey, give me back my object. He goes, what are you talking about? I don't have any of your object. He says, what? I gave it to you to watch. And he says, I want you to swear. That is a special oath called Shvuas HaPekadim. The Mishnah teaches that Shvuas HaPekadim case, what's the parameters of that type of oath? Amalai, the claimant, the one who owns the object, says to the watchman, tell me Pekadim Shesh L'Biyotchik, give me the deposit that I had deposited by you. And then he says no, and that's the whole oath, and he swears falsely. But says the Gemara, Hachanami, Amr, in here you would also say the same thing that it's saying, that he tells him only then is he chayv and shavus to become loy maloy, but if it's not claimed from first, then even though he swears falsely, he's not going to be chayv. But Havachichesh Bamis, and the Pasim Yikr says, if he denies regarding his friend, which sounds like Kolduhu, in any situation that he denies, even without the claimant, the real owner coming to claim it from him. Ella, rather, what we could prove from that Mishnah is Amar Lav Davka. It's not necessarily that way that it has to be that the claimant is saying. So Achinami, say here also, I would have said that Lav Davka, that if I didn't have the teaching of Shmuel, I would have said that although it says in the Mishnah Amar, it wasn't necessarily that way. And if we needed Shmuel to say that, no, it has to be that the claimant says the actual words, Bai Viduni. Now, Matthew Gemara asks, what do you mean, Hai Mai? How are you proving the halacha of our Mishnah that Amar is Lav Davka, from the Mishnah regarding Pekodin that's Lav Davka? To the contrary, if you say that Amar Dehacha Davka, that no, that even without Shmuel, if the wording and then the words of our Mishnah that regarding Shavuos HaEdus, the claimant has to say the words, so I could understand that Tana Hasan, that the Tana told over there regarding the Shavuos HaPekodin, that the word Amar was said, Atu, because it was taught Hacha over here in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah had to say Amar. So a lot of times it keeps the patterns in the wordings in the Mishnayos. So therefore it also said Amar. Eli Amar, but if you're saying, as you want to say from just the wordings of the Mishnah without Shmuel, that Loi Amar Dahasam Davka, not that Amar is precise, V'Loi Amar Dahacha Davka, neither is it necessarily the case over here that Amar has to be that way, then Amar Lama Lila Mesnai, then why does the Tana introduce the vernacular of the claimant saying the words of the claim if neither our Mishnah is Davka, neither is that Mishnah Davka? To the contrary, says the Gemara, it would seem that you don't need Shmuel because, yeah, the Pekodin didn't have to say Amar, but we only said it because here you had to say Amar. The Gemara says, no, I would have thought to say, Dilma Orcha de Milsa. Maybe the normative process of how things usually are is how the Mishnah is saying. Usually, a guy doesn't just deny a deposit. Oh, by the way, I don't have a deposit. What are you talking about? Usually, a guy comes and claims, hey, give me my deposit. Or a guy says, hey, you know testimony from me, say testimony. And therefore, I would have said that, yes, Lav Davka in both Mishnayos, Kamash Malah, that's when you're teaching Yishmul to say, no, it is Davka, the claimant has to actually say the words, but if you're doing it, it's not even enough. If he ran after them, even body language is not enough. You have to actually verbalize the words. It says, Yigmar Tanik of Asayd Yishmul, but in the Braisa like Shmuel, Re'uhu Shabacharein, if the witnesses saw that this guy was coming after them, and Amr Loi, they said to him, hey, Mata Bacharein, what are you coming after us? We swear we don't know testimony for you. As the halacha Shmuel said, Patur, they're going to be exempt because he never got the words out to say, Bayviduni. In contrast, if in the case of a deposit, even though he didn't say the words, Chayavim, they're liable, as we said, by Pekodin. The apostle says, you don't need the claimant to say the words, whatever the claim is that he's claiming against the defendant. Now the Mishnah said, Hishbia lein chamisha pa'amim chulu. If he went and he said, I want you to swear to me. And again, he said, I want you to swear to me. And again, he said, I want you to swear to me. He did that five times. So the Mishnah said, if that took place outside the court, and then he denied it, the witnesses denied it inside the court, then they're going to be chayav for all five. In contrast, if he denied it all five outside, he's not going to be chayav. Moreover, if the guy made him take the oaths in the court, and then they denied it, you're only going to be chayav one. So the Gemara asks, "Menolan da kfira bebezn hud mechayvim." From where do we know that only the witnesses who swore falsely, they're only liable for their denial in court, and achutz lebezn loy mechayvim, but out of court they're not liable. Why? If the guy says, "Hey, swear to me that you don't know," swear to me that you don't know, swear to me, and then after all five they say, "Look, we don't know. Amen. We're denying all the five oaths." Nachayv outside. It's only when they come inside. Where do we know that from? So Amabai says, "Am I correct?" Because the pasuk says, "Im lo yagid v'nasa avayne." This guy who really knows testimony and he swears to the fact that he doesn't, and he doesn't testify, he's going to carry his sin. Says Abai, what the pasuk is telling us is, "Lo yamarti l'chai." I didn't tell you this halacha of being liable for shavuos edus. Ela b'makom, only in the place she'ilu magid zeh, that if he would say mischayiv zeh mamon, then the other person would be liable to pay. In other words, since we see that the Torah is particular about his Haggadah's Eidus, his saying, obviously it's a place where you could say, which is only in Bezin. And there, if you swear falsely, that's your Mechayev for the carbon of the Shavua, of the Shavua's Eidus. And therefore, again, it's only if he denies it in court, where if he really could be Magad right now, in contrast outside, even if he denies it five times, if he comes in the court afterwards and he admits, he's not going to be Mechayev, as the Mishnah has said. Now, on that, Amalei Rav Papa Abaye, so he asked Abaye, Ihach, if that's the case, the Emes Shvur Gufa, then say that even the oath itself, Bebezin In, should only be a liability if the claimant was telling him to make the oath in court, B'shle Bebezin Lai, but out of the court not. Now, however, one of the cases in the Mishnah that we describe, which as we'll see shortly, is the only way we have a case that you can mechayev more than one Karban Shvuah on Shvuas Eidus, is if the guy out of court was telling these two guys, look guys, you guys know testimony. Swear to me that you don't know. And then he says, swear to me that you don't know. And after all five times, they say, look buddy, we don't know. And they deny it. So then we said, if it's out of court, then they're not going to be chayev. But if they say they deny those five when they come to court, they can be chayev all five. Problem is, but those oaths were only out of court. Because as we explained in the previous stuff in the Mishnah, in contrast, if let's say in court, he says, I want you guys to swear. And then I want you guys to swear. And they didn't say anything, because if they deny right away, then we said that Kimin Shehegit Shuvin Nechazamagin. But anyway, at the end of the five, if they deny, the only Chayev won, the Mishnah says. The reason for that is because, as Rashi had explained, that silence they had in all those five, either way you look at it, either an affirmation or a denial, it's going to be one of those two. Either way, if you already had an affirmation, so then Ein Shavu Chal Ashur. If you had a denial, then even if you admit later on, which the whole premise of being Chayev more than one, like when they were outside, then you can't, because Kivan Shehegit Shuvin Nechazamagin, once you already denied, you can't go out and admit now that you do know testimony. The court will not believe you because it's in court. So the only way you have this situation is if the guy was making, the guy was being mashbia them out of court, and they then went and denied all five in court, that's when the chayev all five, but it seemingly it's only if b'mokam hagada, the shvua should only be chal, should only take effect in a place, as we said, that their denial only takes the place effect in the court itself, so maybe the oath itself should only be in the court itself. That's it, Abaye, lo yisak ha'daitech. No, you can't entertain that. Because I'll prove to you from the pasuk that there must be this situation of that the shvu could be out of court. Why? Because the Tanya Lina Brice, the pasuk says, le'achas, if someone will be guilty for one, which teaches us, le'chayva kol achas va'achas. For one means to say because each one a person could be liable for. A person could be liable on five karbanis oil v'yard for swearing falsely that he doesn't know testimony. Now, on that says Abaye, if you're going to say that the Shvu has to be in court, could you be liable for each one of those oaths in court? Meaning, if he denies, or even if he's silent and then denies only after all five, still Vatznan, we learned in our Mishnah, as we mentioned before, if the guy adjures him to the witnesses and says, hey, you, I want you guys to swear to me, and they're just sitting there, I want you to swear to me in court. The kafir, and then they deny all five. The Mishnah said, "Ein chayavin el achas, only liable for one carbon." And Omer B'Shimon, B'Shimon had said in the Mishnah, "Matam, what's the reason?" Because they can't go back now and admit anymore. As we explain, either way, either if it's the silence is an affirmation or but a denial, either way, they can't go after the first one. The first one is the final thing. So therefore, that can't be the case of being chayiv five karbanos shvuah on one denial of a single type of a testimony. So Allah Shabbat rather says Abaye, what you have to infer is must be Shvu Chutz Labesin. What you see from the Pasuk of La'achas, that you can be chayiv by every single one, must be the only conceptualization of the case is when the guy adjured them on the oath out of court. And then, as we said, the Kfir Bebezin, yeah, the denial has to be in court. But you could have five oaths that they're denying in one shot, which is how do you get those five oaths when it was done out of court? Where there they could be Chayzer Magid, because after each time he says, I want you to swear, they could then jump in at time number three and say, we admit, because their silence out of court wasn't yet a silence of denial, because that's only in court itself. That then it's a Haggadah, and then they can't be Chayzer Magid. They can't, once you say testimony in court, you can't switch. Out of court, there's no testimony to say what you can then change your mind. And therefore, that's how Abaye proves this halacha, that although the kfir is bebezin, but the shvu could be even out of bezin. Then the Mishnah continued and said, Kafur shnein ka'achas, if the two witnesses deny at one shot, then chayavin, then they're going to be liable for denying testimony, which is now going to make this guy lose money, which is their fault, and then the chayav of carbon for swearing falsely regarding testimony that they really knew. Now that is the Gemara, but how do we understand this case? They're both denying at the same shot. The guy's saying, yeah, I want you guys to swear to me that you don't know. And then you're saying that they say simultaneously. And that is the Gemara, ha'ef shalit samtzim, but you cannot be so precise. In other words, the Gemara's assumption right now is, when it says ka'achas at one, it means exactly, at the same time. But you can't be exacting with two different people at the same time. So what does it mean, ka'achas? So Rav Chizki says, no, Homani, who's the Tanav of Mishnah? Rabbi Yisrael Glilihi. Doma that he says in Mesechtes Becharis David Zayin Min Aleph regarding a case of a ewe, a female sheep that didn't yet give birth. Then she gives birth to two male children. Rabbi Yisrael Glilihi says, both those firstborn animals go to the Kohen. I mean, the firstborn, the Bechari goes to the Kohen, but that's only the firstborn. Here, there's two males that were born, two twins. Basically, he says they both go to the Kohen. Why? Because Efshel Tzamtzem, you could be exacting that both of them had their heads, which is what the Peter Rechem is the one that comes out of the womb first. Both these animals could have came out of the womb at the same exact time. And they're both the firstborn. So they both have to go to the Kohen. Now, the Chacham disagree with him. And they say, no, it's not possible that one of their heads didn't come out a millisecond before the other one. So one of them is the firstborn, the other one's not. So they're both in doubt, which one's the Bechar, which one's not. So they hold, both of them go out to graze in the pasture until they develop a blemish. And then you sell, and then you give one to the Kohen, one to the owner, because one is the Kohen, one is the owner. We just don't know which one. And one might have the sanctity, so then you go ahead and use the monies for the one for the Kohen and one for the owner. But says Rav Chizda, so the Tanav HaMishnah is basically that they both have to say and deny at the same moment. That's Rav Chizda. It says you could be exacting. Rav Yechonam, he says, no, I feel Tim Rabban. You can say the Tanav HaMishnah, even like Rabbanon, who hold that you cannot be Mitzamtzim. But it doesn't mean Ka'achas, literally at one shot. It's Kegayin Shekaf Rishnein, but Tirkidei deeper. It's, for example, that they both deny within what's called the amount of time of speaking. Because of a tirkidei deeper, kadeeper dummy, within the time frame of speaking is considered like speaking. In other words, it's considered the same time if it's within a very small amount of time. So although they're not going to be exacting, but that's considered at the same time. Now, on that asked the Gemara, but Omalei Ravacha Mediftel Ravina says, wait, Mechti, let's see. Tirkidei deeper kama haba, what's the halacha of within the amount of time it takes to speak? That halacha is kadeh she'ilas tam l'rav. We consider it one contiguous speech, one unit, of if it's within the time of speaking, if from one to the next is within the amount of time how it takes for a student to greet his teacher, which he says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, peace upon you, my teacher. Ikudami, those that say it's Kadesh She'ilas Harav LeTalmud, it's the way amount of time it takes for a teacher to greet his student, which is shorter, which is Shalom Alecha. But either way, ask the Gemara, Adi Amri, until the amount of time it takes for the witness to say, we swear that we don't know for your testimony. Tuvahava, that's more. You can't have both of them saying these six words in the amount of time of Shalom Alecha Rebbe, which is three words or two words. So by default, you're not going to have, if one guy is speaking and the other guy starts right after, you're not going to get all his six words in the amount of time to be considered as if it's part of the first person speech. On that Amalei, so on that Ravina responded, he says, no, kol echad ve'echad, each and every witness, teich diburi shel chaveri, has to be within the speech of his friend in that amount of time. Meaning, from when the first witness gives his denial, if the second guy starts within the amount of time that it takes to greet a teacher, then he's already connected to the first one like the train. You missed the train if you had that gap more than the time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe. But once you got in that and you start speaking, we view it as contiguous, as connected to the previous one. That's considered Ka'achas, and therefore that's what Rabbi Yechonon said. It could be even like Rabbanan. It doesn't have to be literally at the same exact time the way Rav Chizda was saying like that it should be like a basic lily. Now the Mishnah continues and said, B'zachar zeh. Let's say they don't say that one time, but rather one gives a denial and then later on the other witness gives a denial. So the Mishnah said, HaRishon Chayav HaSheni Patur. The first one's going to be liable because when he was denying it, there were still two witnesses that we knew of, and he's the first one to make the guy lose the money. The second one is exempt because the first guy already denied. So I'm the only witness left. I'm only one witness. One witness doesn't have validity to collect money from anybody, and therefore my denial is not a denial of a monetary loss, which is not a liability for Shavuos Eidus. Says the Gemara, Masnit Leki Haitan, our Mishnah is not like the Tan that we're going to quote over Belozer Reb Shimon. If someone says to a singular witness, a lone witness, he says, hey, I want you to say testimony for me that this guy owes me money, and which is the case we're describing regarding the second guy. The first guy already denied. He's the only one left. And he denies. I mean, he denies in his testimony. So the Tanakhama says, Potter, that witness is exempt from a carbon of Shavuos Eidus, like we said, because there's no money for this from this one witness anyway. But Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Mechayev, he says that one witness who denies the testimony will be liable, which is not like the halacha of Mishnah, because according to him, even after the first one denies, the second one, when he denies, is also going to be chayev. Now says the Gemara, let's say, so what's their machlik is contingent on? The Marsav of the Tanakama holds, like the Tana of our Mishnah, Eid Echad Kiyasa, when a singular witness comes to testify, L'shvuhu de Kasa, all he's coming to do is to make the defendant take an oath. Meaning, if he would testify that this guy, the defendant, owes $100, he's not going to make that guy liable to pay the money. At most, he's going to make him take an oath, and therefore his testimony is not significant to say that now that he's swearing falsely, would have caused the guy a monetary loss. Not causing monetary loss. All he would have been mechayev was a shvuah anyway. And therefore he's not chayev. Whereas Amar Sav Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds, Eid Echad Kiyasa, when the singular witness comes to testify regarding this court case, Lema Mayn Nekasa, he is coming and he could hold and he can make the defendant liable to pay the money. Because he expounds the pasuk that we know excludes one witness from creating liabilities, he reads it when it says, L'chol oven u'l'chol chates, that for every sin and for every negligence, that what we're saying is only for two witnesses, is for makas, for lashes, and for ancient for punishments. That's where ain't come, that's where the singular witness doesn't work. But he could get up for monetary, and that is, he could, a singular witness, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, could make the guy have to pay, and therefore they could make him pay, and he's swearing falsely, of course, causing a loss for the claimant, and that's why he has to bring a carbon oil b'yared for his false oath that he doesn't know testimony. Now, this the Gemara asks, the Tizbra, that's really logical to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says that you could be mechayev someone money through the testimony of one witness, and that's his reasoning for this halacha that he holds when you mashbia er eid echad that he's going to be chayev. But Amar Abaye, Abaye says the following halacha, which from there we're going to prove that the reasoning, the rationale behind Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's halacha is not because an eid echad is could be mechayev mammon, but rather for a different reason. Abaye says many enigmatic generalizations regarding the halachas of shvuas eidus. Abaye says as follows: Hakol moedim be'eid saita. Everyone agrees regarding a witness by a saita, which is the suspected adulterous woman that she had an adulterous relationship with another man. Which the Gemara later on is going to explain all these enigmatic teachings. But what it means literally is that there is a certain testimony regarding the saita that everyone would agree to, that even though you've been being mashpia on eid achad, and he denies, he's going to be chayiv. Everyone agrees be'edei saita. In other words, there is a testimony by saita that even if he's making two witnesses swear that they don't know the testimony, and they really do, and they deny it, still they're going to be exempt. And then umachleikis be'edei saita. There is a case of testimony by saita, which is a machleikis chachamah and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, regarding a case when he makes them both swear and they deny. That machleikis is the same machleikis they have regarding when you're being mashbiya and eid echad regarding money, which is the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon we just brought before. Now, what the Gemara is saying is that from the explanation of Abaye, which the Gemara later on is going to explain, it's going to come out that the reasoning of Rabbi Elazar's halacha is because he holds dava hagorim lamamin kamamin dami. Although it's not a direct financial loss, but it's going to cause a financial loss, it has halacha like a monetary loss. And therefore, a singular witness is a goyim lamamin. He will cause the claimant a loss of money, not directly, but because had this one witness testified, he would have made the defendant liable to take an oath, and generally most people refrain from saying a false oath, and he would have admitted, and then he would have paid. And therefore, that's where Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds you're going to be chayiv, not because like the Gemara was saying before, because an eid echad can be chayiv mamon. No one says that. Everyone knows eid echad only be chayiv a shvuah. It's just that, as we'll see from this halacha, which parallels the halacha of eid echad, that since it's dava gerim lamamin, then it's going to be kamamin domi, that's going to be the same thing. There is going to be a certain type of eidus by saita, which we'll explain that regarding the stira, which is also a gerim lamamin, that's going to be the same halacha as Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and the Rabbanim. So to hakol moedim be'eid echad, there is a case where everyone would agree, although he's being mashpia only an eid echad regarding mammon, he's going to be chayiv. And vakol moedim be'eid, and they also agree by also a singular eid, shekeneg dechash al hashvu, where if the opposing, the defendant is suspect regarding, the opposite party is suspect regarding an oath, even though it's one witness who would be testifying and he's denying it, he's going to be chayiv, although generally you say you need to have two witnesses. So, but one thing is that, as the Gemara will explain, as we mentioned before, that the halacha of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is not because of that he says eid echad can be mechayev mamon. Ella, rather, the kuleam everyone holds eid echad kiyasi, when does a one witness, what does he come to affect in court? Lishvu kasi, he's coming to affect an oath. Rather, v'hacha b'hacha milchikis. So what's the machlokes? What was Reb Shimon and the Tana Kama, which is also the Tana of our Mishnah? Is Mar Sava, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon holds, Dava, Gerim, Lamam, and Kamamadam, as we explained, a causation to a monetary loss is like a direct monetary loss itself. And therefore, as we're going to explain, regarding the Shvua, which he's being Mechayiv, the defendant of Shvua, and by not testifying, he's going to cause an indirect loss to the claimant, and therefore he's Chayiv, a carbon Shvua. But however, the Tana Kama, the Tana of our Mishnah, held that no, when let's say in the case of our Mishnah, where there were two witnesses, the first one already denied, and the second one, he's the only one standing, his denial is not being mechayiv mamin. It's mechayiv shvua, that's considered garm lamamin. A garm lamamin is not like mamin itself, and therefore he's not chayiv, a carbon for his shvua as a edus. Now the Gemara, once we introduced this teaching of Abaye to prove the understanding of the machlekes of Elizabeth Shimon and the Tana Kama, so now the Gemara goes through that. Gufa, we had learned the Amar Abaye. He said these following teachings. Hakol Moedim Be'eit Seiter. There's a case where everyone agrees, even though it's one witness, that is going to be Chayiv if he does not say testimony and he swears to that effect falsely. Hakol Moedim Be'eit Seiter. There are those who agree even the opposite direction. Again, although we said generally it has to be two witnesses and not by one witness, here's a case, one witness, that he will be Chayiv. Everyone agrees also there's a case by Eidei Seiter that even though it's two witnesses, they'll be Pater. And then we have a machloikis by Eidei Seiter. Then we have a case that although it's two witnesses, we have a machloikis if they're chayiv or not. So to hakol moedim be'eid echad, everyone agrees there's a case, even though it's one witness, that he'll be chayiv. And hakol moedim be'eid, and everyone agrees there's also a case by a singular witness, shekenegdei chashal hashvur, where the opposing party is suspect regarding an oath and cannot take an oath, that this one witness who knew testimony and swore to the fact that he doesn't, and then it turns out that he really did, is going to be chayiv, a carbon of shvur seidus. So now the Gemara explains all these halachas. Hakol moedim be'eid seiter, the first enigma, the first statement that Abaye had said, that everyone agrees by the witness of the seiter, what do they agree to? So as we had been explaining, shechayiv, that even though he's a one witness, which we said generally one witness is not chayiv because he's not coming for mamon, he's coming for at most let's say a shvua. By the case of seiter, everyone agrees he's going to be chayiv. What type of witness? Because actually three critical components of a seiter, which there's kinui, the warning the husband gives to the wife, then the steer when she secludes herself, and then there's if she actually was mazana, which is the tumma. So on that says Abaya, that's be'eid tumma. That's by the witness of her defilement. In other words, if let's say the husband brought two witnesses of kinui, which is that they could testify that he had warned her, that don't seclude with that man. Then he brings two witnesses that she secluded with that man after that, subsequently. Then there's another one witness that could testify he saw them being mezana when they were secluded. So the husband tells the witness, testify, and he says, I don't know. And he says, I want you to swear to me that you know, and the reason why I need you to testify is because if you testify, I'm not going to have to pay her for a ksuba. And he denies his testimony, he's going to be chayv, because he's literally making the husband lose the money of the ksuba that he has to give her. He only is exempt if he can prove with that one witness that she was mezana. Why one witness? Don't we usually need to prove an element with two witnesses? Because regarding the testimony of Tuma, of her defilement, Drachmona Hemne, the Torah believes one witness in this case. As the Gemara says in Masechta Seiter, Laman Aleph, Laman Aleph. So therefore, had he testified, the husband would have been exempt from paying the ksuba, but since he denied his testimony, now he has to pay, and therefore that's a liability of Shavuos Eidus, and that's what he has to pay. Where do we find that the Torah believed one witness by Eidei Tuma? Is the Chassidus, like the Pasuk says, Mamidbar, regarding the Seita, Ve'eid Ein Ba, regarding a woman that was Mezana, is that there was no aid. Now, the Gemara expounds over the Masechta Seita, wherever it says aid, although it's in the singular, it's actually one unit of testimony, which are two witnesses. Until, as we find elsewhere, if the Pasuk says Echad, it says somewhere else Eid Echad. So you see, if it says just aid without Echad, it means two. So the way we translate the Pasuk is, it says Ve'eid Ein Ba. What's Ve'eid Ein Ba? Aid, one unit of witnesses there isn't by this woman, which is because there's not two, but there is one. And on that, that's teaching us, okay, Ve'eid Ein Ba, there's no two, but Kol She'esh Ba. So whatever witness there is, even if there's one witness, the Pasuk then continues and says, Ve'hi Loi Nidfasa. And if she was not grabbed, she was not coerced, she was not forced, then she's going to be forbidden to her husband, because obviously that's what the Pasuk is saying. When it ends off, Ve'hi Loi Nidfasa, that's obviously coming to say a stringency on this woman. If she wasn't coerced, then she's going to be forbidden. And what is that case? the eight aimba. If there's no two witnesses, but rather, what does that mean? There's one witness. Oh, but she wasn't forced, then she's forbidden. So we see that regarding the halacha of the edus regarding tumma, the aid tumma, that one is enough. And therefore, that's a case of aid saita, even though he's a sole witness, that his denial is causing a direct loss of money to the husband. And there, everyone, even the Rabbanan, would agree that that's straight up money, and therefore he's going to be chayev for his false oath regarding not knowing testimony. Second teaching of Abaye was, v'kol maidim be'edis saita. There's a case that even though it's two witnesses in their denial, that regarding edus saita, that sheh pater, that they're going to be exempt. Even though, again, that's two people that he's making take a shuva and they deny, they're going to be exempt. What's that case to Oma? Be'edi kinoi, the witnesses that he had there when he was initially warning her. Because them testifying or not testifying, to have a goyim de goyim, it's not even a goyim lamaman, it's a cause of a cause regarding money. Because the witnesses who are denying testimony, really they knew. They saw him warning the wife. And they swear we don't know testimony. The reason why they're exempt is because they could tell the husband, even had we testified for you, that still wouldn't have caused you the saving the money of the ksuba. Because you would have still had to gotten, so okay, all you know now from our testimony is that you warned her. You would have still had to gotten witnesses that she went and she secluded with the man. And even after the witnesses that she was secluded, you still would not be exempt from the ksuba, because even them would not make her lose the ksuba. Even they're just a garm lamaman. Because all that would bring would be creating a situation that she would have to drink the mei saita, and maybe from the fear of drinking that water, she would admit that she had defiled herself, and then she would lose the ksuba. But again, that's a garm la garm, and there everyone's going to agree, even Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that that's not enough to be considered a mumminous type of a liability, and therefore that's not going to be chayv them a karmen shvur. However, as we continue to Bayes, the other halacha of Abaya, third halacha with machloikis be'edei saita, the machloikis that we had regarding edei saita, if they can be chayv a karmen shvur or not, that's the same machloikis, and this is why we introduced this teaching of Abaya. That's the same machloikis that the Chum have with Elazar ben Shimon regarding when a person, a claimant, is being mashpia an eid echad of mammon. That same achleikis is the same achleikis here by one of the cases of Eidei Saita, that is Be'edei Stira, which is when he knows these two guys saw him and her being secluded in that room over there. And he's being mashbia them, and they deny their knowledge. That's where their machleikis, where Mar Savar, Dava Gram Lamamin, Kamamad Dame Bechayev, Rebelaz Rebeshimin, who, as we said in the previous halacha, which is why we introduced the teaching of Abaya, that if he's mimashpia an eid echad regarding mammon, that he's going to be chayev a korban because of his denial, what I mean, it's always mechayev a shvuah, but it's a dov ha-gorim lamammon, he would hold also be here that is, these two witnesses are going to be liable for a korban, because had they said testimony that she was secluded, then maybe, since she's going to have to drink the meis saita now, maybe she would have been afraid from drinking the meis saita and she would have admitted. So that's a garm lamamin. It's not a garm lagarm. It's not kinoi who then needs stira anyway and only then cause. But it's a garm lamamin. And Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds that's kamamin and therefore they're going to be chayiv. Whereas a mar savalav kamam dame pata, the chacham held that no, we don't consider a garm lamamin like mamin itself. And at most it would be a cause, an indirect cause for creating a loss of money. And therefore, that's not like mammon, and therefore, their false oath regarding that would exempt them from the chiyuv of a korban shvuah. The next teaching of Abaye, hakol moedim b'shekenegdei chasher al shvuah. Everyone agrees when the opposing party is suspect regarding taking an oath. Meaning, if let's say one of the litigants is suspect on the laws of oaths, which that doesn't allow him to take an oath because he's suspect on that, of swearing falsely. Now, if he denies owing money, but there is a witness that knows that he really does owe the money, and this claimant goes to that one witness and says, hey, say testimony for me. And he denies on oath that he knows testimony. There, says Abaye, everyone's going to agree that that one witness is going to be chayav a karban shvuah. Because this is one of the halachas when the defendant is suspect regarding an oath. The halacha is that we don't let him take an oath because the guy lies anyway. What's it going to help? That's what's called nishban v'naitlim. We switch it around, although generally oaths in the Torah are the defendant swears. In this case, we switch it around, and the claimant gets to swear and to collect, as the Gemara says later on the Memdal on the base. So therefore, had this one witness testified, he would have made the defendant liable to take an oath, but since he suspect, the court would have gone and swapped the oath and made it onto the claimant, and the claimant could have just sworn and gotten the money that the defendant owes him. And therefore, he's causing him a loss of money, and therefore he's going to be chayav a carbon. And so to said Abaye, HaKol Moed Me'ed Echad, everyone agrees in the case of a singular witness. How so? The Rebaba, which is in the case of when he's mashbi on Eid Echad, like similar to the case of Rebaba, which the Gemara is going to say later on, that then the defendant's going to be chayiv to pay based on the testimony of that one witness. And if it's such and such a situation, if that one witness doesn't say testimony, he swears he's causing a loss of money to the claimant, and therefore everyone would agree in that case that the witness is going to be chayiv. So now the Gemara explains these last two cases. Hakol Moedim B'Shekenegdi Chashad Al Shvua, everyone agrees when the opposing party is suspect regarding an oath, that then that one witness could have caused actual effect in money, not just an oath, because the guy couldn't have sworn, and then the other one could have sworn, and he would have gotten the money, so therefore that's why it's Chayav Karban Shvua. On that, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? The Chashad Man, who suspect? Ilema, if it's like we were explaining up until now, the Chashad Leiva, that yeah, the borrower, the defendant, the blend is saying, you owe me money. The defendant is saying, I don't owe you money. And the one witness knows that he really borrowed the money, and the defendant can't swear. The borrower is suspect. The Amalei Malva, so in that case, the lender tells to that one witness, Iyasis Asadatili, had you come and said testimony for me, have Mishtabana Vishakilna, I could have gotten money, not just a Karim Lamaman. Everyone would agree in this case because it's real money. I could have sworn and gotten the money that the guy owes me. You don't usually get such opportunity, but he's shekin negdei chashal shvua. I would be able to swear and collect. Well, that is the Gemara, but why? Valeimalei, let the witness tell the claimant, miyemin de mishtabata. Who says that you would have sworn? It's still, at most, a goyim lamamin, because it's still not directly causing money, because you still might not have made the oath, and you might have yes. So therefore, according to Rabbanan, the witness would still be pater. Why is Abaye saying in this case that everyone would agree, even the Rabbanan, that it's a direct cause for money, and therefore he's going to be chayiv? So Elarad explains the Gemara, Kugan Sheshnein Chashudin. The lender and the borrower, the claimant and the defendant, are both suspect. They're both not viable to take oaths. The Amamar, that's what the master said later on, Perikol Nishbon, that where both parties are suspect, the Halach is, what do? We know that when there's one witness, so then the defendant has to take an oath. But he can't because he's suspect. So then we say, okay, Nishba Menaitlin, when he's connected to Chashal Shua, so the claimant could swear and collect. But he's also suspect. What happens then? Then the halacha is Chazer Shvua L'Mukhayivla. What happens is, okay, then the oath goes back to the one who's really initially obligating it, who's the borrower, the defendant. And then, but still it's Omitoich She'en Yochli Shava, and since he cannot swear because he's suspect, then the halacha is, then he's going to be Mishalm, then he has to pay. Because the halacha is, look, either you swear or you pay. Either one is incumbent upon you. Therefore, in this situation where someone's being mashpia an eid echad, who knows testimony and he denies knowing it, the eid is going to be chayav a karban shvua, because had he said testimony, the borrower would have been liable for an oath, and he couldn't have sworn because both parties are suspect, and therefore it would have automatically obligated him to pay, and that would have been a direct obligation of money, and therefore even the rabbanu would agree in this case that the eid echad is going to be chayev for a carbon for denying his testimony. The other case, hakol moedim be'eid echad, everyone agrees by a case of one witness that he's going to be chayev, although again, as we said, generally only two witnesses chayev and one witness is pater. This is a very similar case to the case of that the party is suspect, where he cannot take an oath. And since he can't take an oath, he's going to have to pay. What case is that? The Rababa, like we find by Rababa. What's that case? The Hu Gavra, the Chatef Naschem Mechavi, there was a certain person that grabbed away a block of molten silver from his friend. The guy was holding on a block of silver, and the guy grabbed it away. So Asa Kamei de Rabami. So the guy came in front of Rabami. Now, Habi Yosef Rababa Kamei Rababa was sitting in front of Rabami, who was listening to the court case. So Azal Aisi Chatzah did the Mechtef Chatfamine. So the guy who had the silver stolen from him went and brought one witness who said and saw that this guy grabbed away the silver from him. So Amalei, so the guy was holding onto the silver who had grabbed it away, said, in Chatfi, yes, I grabbed it. But Vedidi Chatfi, I grabbed my own thing. Meaning, this guy stole it from me. I was just grabbing back what was really mine. So that was what the parties were claiming. Now Amar Bami said, how should the judges litigate this case? What was the question? As follows. What should we do? What should the judges do? L'shalom, we should make that guy who grabbed it away pay, because a guy who grabs away something from somebody else is not believed to say, yeah, you stole it. I was just taking back my own thing. Because then every single thief is never going to have to pay, even when there's witnesses, because he's just going to say, what do you mean, you stole me, take it away from him? It was mine. He took it from me. So obviously, we should make him really pay. Problem with that is, lekatre sahadi. But we don't have two witnesses who could testify that he grabbed it away, and therefore, as we're going to shortly see, he could say a meager and say, what do you mean? So therefore, it was mine. If you're going to say that I grabbed it, even though I'm admitting, but you don't have witnesses, I could deny in saying that I never even grabbed it. Well, one witness? Yeah, you can't collect from me one witness. Halacha is you have to collect with two witnesses. So therefore, we can't make him pay. So what are we going to do? So lifterei? So should we just exempt him from having to give it back? Because like we said, there's no two witnesses. And like we said, there's a migui. Since he could say that I didn't grab it away, because you don't have two witnesses to prove that I did grab it away, even when I say I did grab it away, believe me that it was mine. So should we exempt him? Problem is, we can't exempt him either. There is at least one witness who did see him grab it away from that person. And therefore, there is no migui, because if he would say, I didn't grab it, he would have to swear, because there's one witness who's contradicting him, and when one witness contradicts it, you have to swear. So what should we do? So, lishtabea? So, okay, so, fine. We can't collect from him, because there's no two witnesses. We can't exempt him, because there's one witness. So what's halacha when you have one witness? Lishtabea. Let him swear the oath that the singular witness is making him swear. Problem is, he can't. Why? Kiven de amr in chatvi v'di chatvi, since he's saying, yes, what this one witness is saying is true. I grabbed it, but I was grabbing my own thing. So havalei kigazlin, in halacha, we view him as a robber. Not like some of Farshim say, which is also interpretation, but Rashi doesn't go with that approach that, oh, because he grabbed it and therefore he's like a gazlin. Meaning the halacha, the way Rashi explains it is, someone that becomes liable for an oath based on the testimony of a singular witness, what does he swear? He swears in contradiction to what the one witness is testifying. He has to contradict the witness. Let's say someone says, I don't owe the money. And the witness says, yes, I did see. And he has to swear, no, it's not true. And then he exempts himself. Problem is, this guy can't swear in contradiction to what the one witness is testifying because he admits to what the witness is saying that, yes, I did grab it away. So essentially the way Rashi explains the Gemara is, so this guy, in relation to this oath, is the way a gazlan is regards to all types of oaths, meaning that he can't swear regarding it. Just like a gazlan is possible to take a shvua, we don't believe him. So too, this guy, in regards to this oath, also can't, because in this oath, he can't swear, because he admits that, yes, I did take it, but I took my own thing. So what are you going to do? So I can't swear, but neither can you collect from me because you don't have two witnesses, and neither can you exempt me because there's ultimately one witness. So that's what the Rabbi Ami was confounded and says, how do we go about passing this halach? That Amli Rababa, and this is what we're referring to regarding the singular witness, that would be such a case where if he knows testimony and he doesn't, it would be, according to Ibn Rabban, directly mammon, and therefore he'd be chayav a karban. Amli Rababa says, look, what ends up being is havalei mechuyav shvuya. By default, whatever you're saying, if this guy who grabbed it wants to hold on to it, he has to swear to contradict the one witness who says, you grabbed it, so give it back, although we can't collect with the one witness, but at least it mandates a shvua, he can't swear that he didn't grab it away because he actually is admitting that he did grab it away. And moreover, the one who grabbed it away is not believed to say that I grabbed my own thing, because that's what the one witness say, no, I saw you grabbed it away. Then every gazlan can say, I grabbed away my own thing. So this oath that the one witness is making him swear regarding what he's testifying, like we said, he can't swear because he admits to what he's saying that, yes, I did grab it, but it's my own. But we don't believe you when you say it's your own. So you have to at least swear to contradict him. Because if, let's say, two witnesses said we saw him grab it away, he wouldn't be believed to say I grabbed it away my own. He would have to pay. So the one witness, you have to contradict him, but he can't. And that's what Rebbe Abba concludes. Whoever is obligated an oath and he can't swear, then he's got to pay. An oath is your ticket out. You don't have to take it out, then you got to pay. And that's the halacha that we described, that similarly, like the case of Kenegdei Chashal Shvuah, because Mitech She'enech L'Shavah, that's a common denominator, since you can't swear, you got to pay. The one witness would have caused that case, and by not testifying and swearing falsely, he made the loss of money to the claimant, and therefore he has to get his chayev in a carbon shvuah. Continuing on this theme, Amar Papa says, "Hakol moedim be'ed misa." Everyone agrees by a lone witness who knows testimony regarding a woman that her husband passed away, and she says, I want you to swear that you know testimony my husband died so that I could go ahead and collect the ksuba from his inheritors, and he denies knowing testimony, that there everyone agrees shu chayiv, that even though it's a lone witness, that is going to be chayiv of Korban Shavuot. However, conversely, about Kol Moedim, there's a case that everyone agrees, but Eid Misa, the same type of case where a one witness knows that a woman's husband passed away, Shehu Pater, that if he denies, that even though, as that's obviously part of the halacha, that an Eid Echad is Neman in this witness, in this testimony, that a husband passed away, and he's causing her a loss of money by his denial, everyone agrees in a certain case that he's going to be Pater. What's these two cases? Hakol Moedim be'eid Misa Shupata. Everyone agrees by the Eid Echad of Misa, of the husband's death, that is exempt, because that's a case of the Amar Lo Ledida. He already told her out of court, your husband passed away. Now, but V'loyam Lehu Lebesn, but he does not tell her that he knows testimony in court when she's being mashbihim. There he denies. Now, in that case, since she herself could go to court and to say, my husband passed away, and she wouldn't need his testimony at all, so since she doesn't need it, and the loss is not coming from him, because she herself could go out and be believed that her husband passed away and collect the ksuba, so therefore he's not causing other loss, and therefore he's going to be pater. Because the Nan, like learn the Mishnah Masechet Tzivamis, Ha'isha Sha'amra Meis Bali Tenase. If a woman says, my husband passed away, she's believed, and she could get married. Meis Bali Tisyavim. If my husband passed away, and without any children, and there's a Yavim, she goes and does Yibum, where we see she herself is believed, and therefore in that situation, he's not causing her loss, because she herself can testify, and therefore he's going to be pater. In contrast, HaKol Moedim Be'ed Misa Shulchayiv, everyone would agree there is a case of the Eid Echad, of the husband's death, where if he's denying it, that he is going to be Chayiv Karban Shavua, it's Delay Amma La'ilamad L'didav La'amad L'Lebazin, where he doesn't tell her or the court, where there she doesn't know. It's only him that knows, and he never told her, and he denies it in court upon an oath. That's he's causing her a loss of money of Raksuba, and therefore, even though generally a loss of money is usually with two witnesses, in this case it'd be one witness, and therefore he's going to be chayev, a carbon of Shavuos Eidus. Now, incidentally, the Gemara asked on this last halacha of Rapapa. Shema mino, can we infer from this halacha of Rapapa, mashbia eide karka chayev? If someone makes someone say testimony, to swear an oath that he doesn't know testimony regarding land, and he denies it falsely, he's Michayev a carbon, which that's the Gemara's question. Seemingly from a Papa's halacha, you could infer that he holds that if someone makes witnesses take an oath that they don't know testimony regarding an aegis that applies to land, and they deny, they're going to be Michayev, where, as we'll see later on, the Vlamazayim Abeis, that's a Machlekes Tanoim and a Meiram. Now, the reason why we see that from a Papa is because an aid regarding the husband's death is an aegis regarding land. The reason for that is because Iksuba could only be collected from land. And therefore, the witness's denial of knowing this testimony to the woman, which is only relevant to land, we see that is mechayev a carbon shvur. So you see, mashbiya eide karka is chayev. That says, you know, Dilma, maybe this halacha of a papa is talking about the tfisa mitaltli, where the woman had already been holding on to some of the movable possessions of her husband when he was still alive. And therefore, had this man said the testimony, she would have been able to continue maintaining, holding onto those metaltlin, and therefore it's not an aegis necessarily just regarding karka, it would have been regarding metaltlin, and therefore it doesn't prove what Repub would hold regarding that machlekes of mashbi'i de karka, and again, that's why he's mechayev of karban shvua, wasn't regarding de karka, it was even regarding metaltlin. Now the Mishnah continued, it said that kafir echad v'hayde echad v'chulu, which we had mentioned in passing before, and if, let's say, the first witness denies and the second witness admits, so if one witness denies and one admits, so the one who denies is going to be chayiv, the one that admits is going to be pater, etc. Now, etc. is because the Gemara asked the following question. There's two cases which one seems unnecessary. The Gemara asked, hashta b'zachar zeh, if, regarding when we said, if they both deny, but it's, as we mentioned this halacha before, if it's consecutive, the tarvayu kukafri, where they're both denying. Now, and in that case, the first witness who denied, he could really essentially say, what do you mean? What would have helped you had I said testimony? Ultimately, the second witness anyways denied, and we're going according to the opinion of those who disagree with Reb Elazar ben Shimon in our Mishnah, who they say a singular witness is not chayiv a karban shavua because he cannot be mitzi mamon. And still we say, Amrit, you say harishon chayiv, still the first witness we say is going to be chayiv a karban shavua because when he denied, the second one yet didn't deny yet. And Vasheni Pata, but the second one says he's going to be exempt because even though he's denying, he's only one left. So he can't be mechayev anything anyway. So if even there we say that the first one's going to be chayev, so kafir echad, so in this case that we're describing over here where one person denies, v'hayde echad, and the second one admits, mebayit, do we need the Mishnah to tell us that the one who, obviously the one who admits is not chayev, is admitting. But the one who's denying, you obviously want to say that he's going to be chayev. Of course, if even the previous halacha, where both are denying, where the first guy technically could say, hey, I should be patur too, because although I went first, but you see ultimately he denied, still we say, okay, when he denied, the guy didn't deny yet, so he's going to be chayev. But so in the case when the guy admits, of course he's going to be chayev. What's the chiddush? Says Gemara, lo tzricha, no, it's necessary. Kigoyin shekafir shneim. Case is actually talking about where both of them deny. But v'chazer echad man, then the second one goes and he retracts. V'haydan, he admits. First he denies, he says, hey, we don't know testimony. Within b'tekhidi dibur. A second later goes, you know what, that's not true, I really know testimony. Now v'hakamashmon, actually the chiddush of the Mishnah is actually not on the first one being chayiv. What it's teaching us is that the tekhidi dibur k'dibur dami. It's telling us that the second guy could back out. And the Mishnah is actually teaching us not the liability of the one who denies. Because that we know. Because even when the second one denies, the first one's going to be chayav. For sure, when the second one admits, where this guy's the only guy who's holding up the testimony. Rather, it's teaching us that the second one is going to be exempt. Because although he's denying, and denying should create a liability, if let's say he's the first one or it's at the same time. But since teichidei dibur, as we said, that makes it as one unit, it's like he's still in his testimony and he's not chayzer magid, and therefore he's going to be exempt because ultimately he admitted within those 2 or 3 seconds. Now that the Gemara asks, well, Bishlam Rav Chizda, you understand according to Rav Chizda, the Muki La Lahu, that he explained the halacha of when they both deny at the same time. He said it's talking about when it's mitzumtzum, when it's exacting, and he explained, how do you have exacting? Kribiyusa glili. So, therefore, our Mishnah didn't yet teach us the halacha of teichidei dibur, because it wasn't talking about teichidei dibur, it was talking about that reisha is efshel tzamtzum, that reisha, the first halacha, when they both say at the same time, is talking about when they were being exacting. V'seifa, itzuch lev shminan, and that was the second halacha was necessary to tell us that the second one is going to be exempt, because that's teaching us the teichidei dibur k'dibur dami, that if he backs that within the time frame of those 2-3 seconds, that it's like he's still talking, and therefore he could still back out, and that's why he's going to be patur, even though when you deny, you should be chayit. When, let's say, when they both say at the same time. But Rabbi Yechon, according to Rabbi Yechon, asked the Gemara, Reisha Teichidei Dibur, the first halacha he says like the Rabban too, which, even though they say it can't be Mitzamtzim, but if you do Teichidei Dibur, then it's going to consider as one unit, and then they're both going to be Chayiv. So the Reisha already told us the halacha of Teichidei Dibur Kedibur Dami. Seifa Teichidei Dibur, so when you're saying the Seifa, which you're saying, we don't need to tell you that the Kaifer is going to be Chayiv. We need to tell you that the Haider is Potter, because even though it's the same time, but he backed out Teichidei Dibur, Tarti Lamali, why do I need 2 halachas to teach you Teichidei Dibur? That says Gemara, you do. Because Ma'od Tema, what would you say? Hanamili Kfiru Kfiru. If you only had the halacha, the Reisha, you would say, when both are denying, when the second guy denies his knowing testimony within Teichidei Dibur of the first one denying, the Reisha of the Mishnah is teaching us that it's considered as one unit, they're both coming together, which would make the second one liable too. Ava Kfiru V'hayda Emalai. But when this one witness, he has a denial, he starts denying. And within Teichidei Dibur, he starts admitting, I would say that actually no. Kamash Malan, that's what the Sefer is teaching us, that when he denies, and then he goes, and Teichidei Dibur, he admits, that he could back out. The Chiddush is that, of course, one unit, if it's the same thing, it's coming together. So the two witnesses are Teichidei Dibur, Dibur Dami. But here when you're saying and you're switching totally your opinion, it's a hey, you already denied, you can't admit. No, that's the Chiddush. Even though it's a total reversal of your opinion, if it's Teichidei Dibur, it's still a valid testimony. We'll view it as one unit and you could be Chayzer. That's the Chiddush that we're going to say that this second aid is going to be Potter. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah of Teichidei Dibur that you would not have known from the Reisha of Teichidei Dibur. Now the Gemara concludes the halacha of our Mishnah that said, if there were 2 groups of witnesses, kafar harishayna, v'acha kafar ashniya, even if it was subsequent, which we said in our Mishnah, if it's 1 pair of witnesses, when the first witness denies, the second witness is only 1 guy left, he's going to be pater. When there's 2 pairs of witnesses, the first pair denies at the same time, and then the second pair denies at the same time, they're both going to be chayv. So the Gemara asks, Bishla Mishniya Tischayv, we understand why the second group is going to be liable, because the kafar harishayna, the first group already denied knowing testimony. So therefore, the only hope this guy has is this last pair of witnesses. And it turns out, when they deny knowing, they're causing a loss of money to this guy with their denial. El Rishayna Amai, but the first group of witnesses, they go first, who he still has on deck, another pair of witnesses. When they deny, but why they chayav a carbon shuiz, a gutin tab of lama gimel menalv, hakai mishniya, there's still another pair of witnesses. They didn't cause a loss of money to him. He has another pair. Why is that called a loss of money to be chayav a carbon of shuiz edus? So Ravina explains, what are we talking about over here in this case in the Mishnah? That the second group was B'shas Kfiris Rishayin, at the time when the first group was denying their testimony, the second group was Karevim Min Shasehen. They were relatives through their wives, meaning they married two sisters, which makes them not viable to say one testimony, because relatives cannot come and testify together. Turns out that they were not a valid pair of witnesses when the first group was denying their testimony. The only valid group was the first group, and therefore they're the only ones, and therefore they're causing loss of money. So then the Gemara addresses and says, so if you're going to say that's the case, then why do we need to say that halacha? Obviously, if the second group was relatives, so of course the first group is the only valid one, they're causing loss of money, of course they're going to be chayav karban shvuah. And that's what Ravina says, no, it was necessary, because moreover, the case is that the two sisters, which were these two brother-in-law's wives, were v'nishasei and glesasei. Their wives were in the throes of death. Both sisters were deathly ill. Ma'udetim, what would you say, rave geisim lamisa? Most people in the throes of death end up dying. So therefore, we should view them as if they're dead, and therefore we actually should exempt the first group of witnesses, because the second group is on deck. They're not going to be relatives in a few minutes, because these two wives are going to die, and they're not going to be related anymore. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, the hashta miyah, lo yishachav, but no, ultimately right now, the two women did not die yet, and that's teaching you that a geisis is considered alive for all halachic purposes, even though the majority of them end up dying, but right now they're alive, we consider them alive, and therefore when the first group is denying that we don't have the second group on deck, they're not considered as if they're available, because even though they will be probably in a few minutes, but right now their wives are alive, and that's the chiddush, and that the first group will be chayiv. And of course, when they deny, the second group is going to be chayiv because they're the only group left. And therefore, both of these groups are going to be chayiv or karban shvuah for the denial and through an oath of the testimony that they know for this claimant.